A very warm welcome to all of you to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond podcast. This is your host, Dr. Vignesh Devraj. In today's episode, I'm going to give my opinion on cold exposure, ice baths, and what's Ayurveda's take on it. Now, when I say Ayurveda's take on it, again, it's my opinion, my personal opinion with what I studied in Ayurveda and my experience with my own patients. Now, few months ago, I did a retreat with Iceman, Mr. Wim Hof. Many of you might have known him through social media and also his book. And he holds few world records on swimming under the ice. And he has some ultra human abilities like climbing the Mount Everest on shorts. So this is quite remarkable what he has achieved, which is quite inhuman for many people. Now, for me, it was coming out of curiosity what it does, what cold exposure does, and what is Ayurveda's take on it. And like when people saw me doing ice baths, they were asking me, isn't it bad if you have high vata, high level of vata? If you are vata dominant, isn't cold bad for you? These are some of the questions that I had. So I'll be answering these questions and clarifying few doubts regarding it. Where does ice bath fit into a people, how it will benefit them, and where you should not do it. By the way, my personal advice, if you are planning to do ice bath, please do it under good supervision. Somebody who is very well aware, certified, and who is knowing how it has to be done. Especially if you have any history of stroke or hemorrhage, internal hemorrhage, or any heart conditions or epilepsy, then please be very careful. Even otherwise, even if you're quite healthy, if you're doing it for the first time, it's always best to do it under supervision, and slowly you gain confidence and then you know that, okay, now you're ready to do it on your own. So please take this as a real caution. Now, coming to Ayurvedic approach towards cold exposure and ice bath. When I was doing my internship, I was posted with a folklore Ayurvedic doctor. Now, he used to work in a very rural parts, and lots of people in the village would come into him. So once we had a five-year-old boy, he comes with chest congestion and a little bit of fever. Now, usually when such a condition comes, this is quite critical and how it is to be dealt. So he had a very counterintuitive approach. And this folklore practitioner, what he did was, he kept a cold ice towel on the five-year-old boy's chest. And this was, he kept it for like maybe up to 2 minutes. And then suddenly he removes it. And after a few minutes again, the child coughs up and all the mucus comes out. So the logic is, when he kept that cold towel, what happens is the body's inner heat gets activated and the mucus that is congested, it melts and the little boy is able to cough it out. Now, this was quite interesting for me to see, and this is very similar to what many cold exposure, what people experience when they do the cold exposure or ice bath or even ice cold showers. So this is the counterintuitive approach. Now, when you feel cold, and sometimes people would have observed, the first time when they are dipping their feet maybe in a cold lake, it might be quite freezing. And then once they dip the entire body, later when they come out, suddenly everything feels warm. Because the body adapts, and there is a regulator inside all of us. There is a thermal regulator inside of us. So when you expose yourself to cold, what happens is your benchmark to handle the cold will shift, and your body's inner heat resistance or your inner heat activation gets started. So what happens is your metabolism also increases, your fat burning capacity also increases, and also your anti-inflammatory capacity increases. So this is something that I learned from an Ayurvedic doctor when I was doing internship. So when people do cold showers, what happens is their inner heat gets activated. Now, let's also look into what kind of people, like if you are Vata type. First of all, if you look into some of my previous episodes, I have spoken why I don't believe in this concept of classifying people into Vata, Pitta, Kapha, because that doesn't really give you any particular solution. I could have Vata problem in my gut, I could have Kapha problem in my extremities, I could have a Pitta problem in my mind, and it could change next month. There are very few people who will fall under the spectrum that they are completely Vata, Pitta or Kapha, and that's very, very little people. But in general, with my experience seeing thousands of patients, everybody will have a blend of all of it, and it will keep changing. So coming to the point, the dosha Vata, which is a combination of Ruksha and Sita, that is dry and cold. Now these two are the qualities of Vata. And the qualities of Pitta is Ushna, that is hot, and Sasnigdha, that is slightly mucus or oily. And the qualities of Kapha is Guru, Snigdha and Sita. So one thing that is common between Kapha and Vata is both are Sita in quality, that is cold in nature. But the cold with Vata is quite different from the cold in Kapha. The cold in Vata is dry and the cold in Kapha is oily or mucusy in nature. Mucusy, there's no English word called mucusy. Maybe I just created right now. But the idea is it is oily in nature and there is an element of mucus lining there. Like, for example, if you go to New Delhi in the winter time, you will need to use a lip balm because it's cold and dry. If you go to the mountains in Kerala in the winter time, it's always misty and there is a lot of humidity. You will never need to use a lip balm. It is cold and oily, or the humidity is high. There's no dryness. You could not feel the dryness in the southern part of India like Kerala. So that's the difference between dryness, which is blended with cold, and oiliness blended with, or humidity with cold. Now, when you expose to cold, your body has to activate the inner heat to survive. So why cold is contraindicated for Vata? Cold is contraindicated if you suffer from Vata dominant disease, not if your body is dominant with Vata. In fact, when I did this retreat with Wim Hof, I saw so many people, according to the internet quiz, if you fill up, they would all fit into the criteria of Vata type. But even though it's not the truth, but they could fill up that internet quiz on doshas and their Vata would be high. And they still did it and they were absolutely fine. But mind you, they were under supervision, just to let you know. Why I keep saying this is because it's very important you do it under supervision. Okay, the point is, there is no mentioning that cold is bad for, like, if your Vata is high. But if you're suffering with a Vata problem, then cold is bad. Otherwise, it's absolutely okay. Even otherwise, even if you have a dominance with Kapha or Pitta or Vata, whatever that is, if you're sick, cold is not good for anyone. If you're having fever, you don't want to expose yourself to cold. If you're suffering with some flu or viral infection, you have to stay at home and take rest and recover. But if you are quite healthy and maybe you are having some conditions but it is not bedridden, or you are able to move out and move, and if you are having enough energy to, like, we have a saying in Ayurvedic terminology is called rogi bala, that is the health of the strength of the patient. If your rogi bala is good enough that you are able to move, being mobile and do some physical activity, in such a situation, cold exposure can only give you some therapeutic benefit. Now, next week, I'll be releasing a podcast interview with Wim Hof himself, where I'll be going in depth with what it does to the body's hormonal system, what it does to the dopamine levels. It's quite interesting that cold shower instantly increases the dopamine by more than 250%, which is fantastic. I mean, if your dopamine can go up, your ability to focus will go up, your mood will get a boost, it'll get enhanced, and you will feel a sense of alertness. And that's what happens when people take cold shower. Immediately they feel like alert. It's like giving you a lightning shock for a split second, that activates your nervous system. Suddenly you feel awake because you need to protect yourself. The inner body feels, I need to protect myself. So it's like putting yourself in a mild discomfort to wake ourselves up. That's what is happening. But when you do this in a very conscious time period, this really helps you. But you will see people doing, I just saw one documentary in Netflix where a lady from Finland, she wants to win a world record in the under the ice water swimming. And she tries to swim on a regular basis. Well, those things are for like something for a sportsman spirit to achieve some goals. But here what I'm talking about is normal life for a common man. And what we want is we want good mobility, we want good intelligence, good emotions, and we need good skill sets to deal with the daily problems. It's not about if we can win a marathon or if we can beat an Olympic record. Those are different kinds. People might do that to get more attention on this. And Wim Hof himself has told that he did this so that more people are getting aware of what cold exposure does to people. And this is exactly what it does. It helps you to activate your alertness. It helps to activate your anti-inflammatory mechanism. And I've seen patients, especially with autoimmune conditions such as irritable bowel syndrome and ulcerative colitis, they claim when they do cold showers and they also did some breath work, their ability to cope with some of their symptoms is enhanced, and also the severity of the symptoms reduced. Like some of the symptoms of this irritable bowel syndrome, it could be loose stools, or sometimes there could be blood that is passing through the stool and they'll have a very sensitive gut along with bloating. These conditions, they saw a significant reduction in some people, not all of them. So these are some of the feedbacks that I hear. So we can't take it as if this is going to be a fantastic response to everyone, but it need not be for everyone. In some people, it just did have some good positive feedback. So this is what happens. So there is no such thing that if your vata is high, you should not do that. If you are suffering with a vata disease, if you're suffering with flu, if you're suffering with fever, if you're suffering with some allergic reactions where you have to be bedridden, you're not allowed to move, you don't feel the energy to move, in such conditions, exposure to cold is not recommended. And I personally feel in conditions, and I've seen and I've recommended some of the patients who had fibromyalgia. In fact, I'm planning to get a research done on that. When they do cold showers, the severity of the pain reduces or minimizes. Because in fibromyalgia, they suffer with a low-grade pain constantly, and sometimes when they get stressed or triggered with certain things, the pain just increases and they just feel very helpless. And they have a learned helplessness to deal with the pain. And the painkillers also don't help them. In such conditions, exposure to cold showers or even ice bath along with some of the techniques like pranayama, breath work, and also some of the Ayurvedic treatments you couple with it, and a lot of emotional healing, emotional recovery, emotional stress coping mechanisms coupled with that is seen to have a good recovery process. So this is my answer to some of the questions. Can people with high vata do cold exposure? Yes. But if you suffer with the disease of high vata, then it should be done with real caution, or maybe it is contraindicated. So just because vata is high, usually when people say vata is high in this person, either they have an overthinking mentality or they have low fat percentage in the body, or they just have too much of dryness in the body. In such conditions, to cold exposure, if you see how professionals train people to do cold exposure, it is for 2 to 3 minutes. Even sitting in an ice bath or cold showers, it's for 2 to 3 minutes. This 2 to 3 minutes per day, it is actually quite therapeutic. So this is my take on this. And these are some of the doubts that I would like to clarify. And also, I've seen in textbooks of Ashtanga Sangraham, Ashtanga Hridayam or Charaka Samhita, where it was talking about Ritucharya. Ritucharya is like the rituals that you need to do in certain seasons and also during Ritusandhi. Ritusandhi means the transit of the season. In fact, October is a very tricky time. This is when people fall sick with allergies because this is going from spring or autumn towards the winter time. So this transition is a tricky time for the body to deal with. So in that Ritucharya, it is mentioned, when people enter into a climate where there is a lot of cold climate, usually the inner heat, the Agni, will go up. And this is the reason. Because of the external cold, the inner heat goes up, so people's appetite can go up, people can digest more, and also people will have more energy. Also, people do say that, you know, when the winter comes, I feel depressed because it's cloudy and there's no sun. That's a different concept altogether. However, cold exposure in general helps to enhance the inner heat. Now, more of this I'll be explaining in my next podcast episode with Wim Hof. So do tune in for the next Thursday, and I look forward to having you. Thank you.